Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
It is 9 minutes after nine on a Friday. Joining me from the Great North is Greg Lotus. Greg, happy Friday to you. Happy Halloween for you tomorrow in case we don't talk on Halloween. And
yes.
Welcome back to the place that your mother loves you to be.
Apparently she does. She doesn't mind me being on the radio, you know?
Even when you feed it to her?
No, well, I have to feed it to her.
You know you do. If you miss an opportunity to get after your friends and family, like when you're doing this, then you really don't understand what you're doing, in my opinion. So
without a doubt.
Did she, and Greg doesn't miss too many chances. Did so give us an update on the cake. You said that, you know, she makes a great cake and it's your favorite, but she is like adamant and she like refuses now to make you a cake.
Yeah, because she's lazy. You know, she doesn't want to, I think she wants to make some other cakes for other people, not her son. That's what it is. You know,
well, how many kids in your family? Is there like eight of them?
No, there's just me and my brother and I, but we live far away from my mom, but I lived in town with my mom, and she wouldn't just bake me a cake, you know what I mean? When I was young, she used to bake cakes all the time, but, you know, she just said, screw it, and she keeps trying to pawn it on my daughter or my wife, and my wife's an excellent cook and stuff, but, you know, that's, the cake is my mom's, it's her deal.
Right, it's the art, it's the artist. Of the artistry of being a my mom, I love my mom's cherry pie and I have the recipe. Me making it is not like my mom making
it. Not even close.
Right.
Not even close.
Right.
No.
Right.
Not even close. Right. So I just hope my mom reconsiders.
There's been no resolution of your mom. Your mom's not buying the cake.
She tries to get all tough and, you know, put up this big fight, but I'll get my cake. Don't worry.
I will get my cake. I want to talk to you. I mean, this story popped up, and it's kind of funny because I see it, and I react to it, and then I read it. And so the story is of an 18-year-old hockey player that's drafted by the Phoenix Coyotes. And then the headline is, and now the story is in the New York Times. It's on TMZ. And so this is a big story. So I'll read you the headlines from the New York Times. NHL team drops a drafted player over a court case tied to racist bullying. Okay. No mention in there that the kid was 14 when this shit happened. The city in which this kid is going to supposed to go play college hockey. Former UND player says hockey team should move on from freshman Mitchell Miller. So this is a guy by the name of Brad Miller saying that this kid who did something when he was 14 ought to have, you know, the opportunities that are coming his way to change his life taken away from him. But Brad Miller says, I don't believe in, you know, canceling anybody or punishing them for life. Really? Well, it sounds like you do. From TMZ, Arizona Coyotes cut ties with 2020 draft pick over bullying history. And so I want to talk to you about it. You do a lot of coaching with young kids. But first of all, canceling somebody for what they did when they were 14, and in no way, shape, or form, and I'll speak for you here, would I or Greg condone the bullying, right, that this kid did, you know, on two counts, one racial, and Greg's got an uncle who has special needs, right? He'd grown up in that world,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so you don't have to get us, you don't have to poke or prod us to react to either one of those two cases, in my opinion. Okay.
Well, we also work with Special Olympics, both of us. So.
Right. And so, me having to call Greg's dad up, you know, getting after the referee in bocce,
because
the referee wasn't doing a great job as Greg's uncle was competing. Right? Come on, John, leave the kid. That's a volunteer, for the love of God. But anyway.
Take it easy.
Yeah, take it easy. But so you don't have to. So it's not like we're not condoning what the kid did. But 14 in eighth grade, that's the standard now to be canceled. And so what about a second chance? What about using athletics or academics or the arts as a way to change people's lives? What about all of that? And the biggest question is, now here's where it comes to Greg. So I'm reading the article and it says Mitchell Miller, right, has signed a letter of intent to play hockey at the University of North Dakota this year. And it's like, holy shit. The head coach is a great friend of Greg's. And in fact, I meet Greg at University Park because Brad Berry, who's the head coach, he and Greg come around the corner. They're two big fucking dudes, right? And Brad, whose nickname is Bubs, he stops and he goes, "Hey, Mac, what's going on?" I'm like, "Nothing, just doing some broadcasting from – it was some event." He goes, "Hey, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, Greg Lotus." And that's how Greg and I met. I had met Greg's wife at a breast cancer event at a park out towards Greg's house that was being run by a woman who had breast cancer who I knew. Her name was Louise Eberwin, who passed away several years ago because of it. And so I had met Heather, and that's how I meet Greg. Brad Berry is as good of a human being as I know. And if you ask him to put something else in front of his program and what he represents, the answer unequivocally is no.
No.
Would never do it. So, Greg, I'm curious, you're coaching. You're obviously near this situation. I'm curious about your thoughts in all of this, given your uncle's a special needs guy, given, you know, you've seen a whole lot of guys playing sports that had a whole lot of checker in their past. 14 years of age. Holy shit.
Yeah, and I think I would start with this. I always ask myself when I'm reading articles or looking at something on television, is this the entire story? Is this story being told from the first person, that is Miller himself? Or is it being told by gathering court documents and taking quotes from, you know, the court process itself, or interviewing others around the situation? So I think with this, I mean, yeah, I've heard from the parents of the young man that was bullied. I've heard some comments from, you know, the Phoenix Coyotes and others, but do we really know the whole entire story? And when I look at this and I say, and I see the comments popping up all over, you know, that's okay as long as he plays hockey, or it doesn't matter, he plays hockey. Well, the first thing I would say is, well, if we take two identical students at 14 years old, one that plays hockey and one that plays trombone, okay, and we move them along till they're freshmen in college, is the freshman playing trombone going to get a story written about him because he gets first chair and they have to relinquish his first chair because of what he did when he was 14? I highly doubt it.
Yeah, probably not.
I highly doubt it. So it's because he plays hockey that the spotlight is on him now more than ever.
Right.
And then you look at what the Phoenix Coyotes did. First of all, they didn't have any picks in the first three rounds. Then they used their first pick on this kid, which means they must have loved him. He wrote letters to all the teams before the draft, so they knew what they were getting into. Then they pick him. Then this story comes out. They say, we're going to stand by him. And then within a day or two, they bounce him because of the counterculture that we're living in now. And if you told a joke in 1993 or you held someone's hand or grabbed someone's hand in 1994, and it's nowadays, you're fired. You know, but we're talking about a child here, 14 years old. Not that he didn't know what he was doing. Maybe he didn't know the severity of it, but as you know, boys develop a lot later in life as far as maturity goes and is concerned. But either way, again,
well,
can
I make it just a point? One of the things I've learned in doing Allmarine Radio in the last 4 years and encountering people that have gone through some pretty difficult things in their life, you meet them. You have no idea what has gone in their past. You have no idea what went on in their home. You have no idea what environment they were raised in and near, right? And most of the time, you know, when people are doing stuff like this, they're modeling it from somebody else. And they were in some environment that allowed this. And now at 14 years of age, that's going to be held against you for the rest of your life. And they're young people. And I one of the things I've learned is that, you know, we all don't grow up in homes with two parents or even one quality parent. There's a lot of people, you know, the amount of sexual violence and child abuse that are in our culture. So I'm not making excuses for anybody, but I'm just saying we all don't come from the Disney Channel. And so when you look at young people, right, I mean, that's why juvenile court records get sealed. So they can have a second chance. And so, anyway, I just wanted to interject that. It's not everybody's the same.
So here's what I'm looking at now. With everyone, like, they're going to bail on him, the Coyotes are, and all these people are judging this kid. God forbid they have a child that makes an egregious error in judgment and does something like this. Or even worse, Mac, we have kids that have committed murder, stabbings, rape at 13, 14, 15 years old. They have to go into the system. They serve their time. They come out. Are we going to just dump everybody now that commits a crime and hold it against them for the rest of their life? I mean, you talk about second chances. I mean, some people have earned third and fourth chances, depending on the severity of what they do as well. But I just don't see the value of walking away. I don't see how it helps. Not only the Mr. Miller himself, but also future possible Mr. Miller situations in schools where this kid could take himself, use this as a platform, maybe go out and speak about it, whatever he decides to do.
Right.
Or maybe he's going to turn his life in a different direction and impact children, kids, bullying. Who knows? It doesn't matter. But we're not going to give him that chance because he made a mistake.
Yes.
Yeah, and so let's just dump everybody. Let's just get rid of anyone who screws up. And then we'll have a severity scale. If they pass a certain mark on the severity scale, that's it. You're done. You're not allowed to, you know, produce music. You're not allowed to play sports. You're not allowed to play the trumpet.
At the age of 14? I mean, like we don't even do that with adults, right? I mean, you have guys like...
Look at the foster care system, Mac.
I know.
They take away kids because the mom's on crack for a year. Burns their baby, and then first thing they go to rehab, they give their kid back.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about a human life. So, I mean, again, whatever the situation is, and I don't know exactly what he did. I mean, yes, there's reports, you know, all this kind of stuff. He was African American, developmentally disabled. The sucker, whatever, the urinal, whatever, push pop, whatever it was, that kind of stuff. it just, to me, it seems that we have to take a look at this and decide as a society what we want to do. Because if we go down this path of just walking away and pushing those kids, you know, under the rug and disregarding them, I can't see how it doesn't come bite us in the ass.
Well, let me, Greg knows my involvement in domestic violence things. And I go speak about my two nephews whenever I have the opportunity. My conclusion, right, after being involved in that for a while, was not the conclusion that I thought I would reach when I started. And that was, in order to get after the problem, you've got to help the perpetrator. That was not in my heart, right, when my two nephews were murdered, to think about helping my sister's husband who killed his own son. That was not, but what happens and why you have to help them is this. If you don't help them, right, one woman leaves. And in another month, he's got another girlfriend. So you haven't changed anything. And you can build all the refugee camps and homes that you want to. But until you intervene to stop the problem, you're not going to change, you know, the statistic. And so my conclusion relative to domestic violence was, you got to help the guys. You got to have guys like me that come out here and talk. And when I say like me, you know, one of the things I enjoyed about me was that, first of all, I'm a guy. Second of all, Marine, right, and all these other things that I am. And so I'm kind of a guy's guy. And, you know, I'm not showing up saying, hey, don't hit girls. What I'm telling you is this story of what happens if you go down this path. And it's a no bullshit story. Yeah. And it resonated. And it was like, holy shit. And so to me, if you have the opportunity to help and you don't, fucking shame on you. Shame on you. And these people, I want to read you what Brad Miller said. And I want you to comment on this. Let's see. He does a podcast, evidently. So Brad Miller, for those of you just listening, played for UND, University of North Dakota, hockey player from 2005 to 2009, been in the NHL for the last 11 years. He does a podcast. He was on his podcast, Speaking Alone, on Tuesday. Quote, do I think everybody deserves a second chance in life? I really do. He was young when all this stuff happened. I get that. But you're old enough to know right from wrong at 14 years old. If you're bullying a handicapped kid when you're 14 years old and something in your head doesn't click that this isn't right, I don't think you're ever going to figure it out. Do I think he needs to be banished from society and sent to the moon and left there until the end of time? No. Do I think he forfeits his right to get a scholarship at the University of North Dakota? Yes. Do I think he forfeits his right to play in the NHL? Yes. I don't think one thing should, and then he contradicts himself. I don't think one thing should define the way your life goes, but I do think there are consequences to actions. Are we going to cancel someone every time they make a mistake? I hate that. I hate the way the world is going right now. I hate it. People are canceling everything for the smallest little thing, but this is not that. This is not that. He didn't get caught throwing a plastic bottle on the interstate. That's different. And so, your thoughts on that?
Well, although I respect Brad's, opinion, as everyone is entitled to theirs, I don't agree with many things. And if you listen to the quotes and statements, they are contradictory for sure, because he puts a weighted scale on certain things. You know, plastic bottle versus picking on a handicapped kid. But, does he need to be banished? No. but there is consequences. Well, if you read, and again, the whole story, is it out? I don't know. But if you read, like, he did have to do community service. He did have to do such and such for to appease the court. So there's also this issue of an apology. Was it made directly to the boy? I'm not sure. I haven't really kind of figured that out yet. Some say yes, some say no. So I would say that, you know, as with everybody, Mac, opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one.
Right.
So, you know, it's his right to have it. But so he's trying to define, like, does he deserve a scholarship? No. Does he forfeit his right to play in the NHL? Yes. Like, so at 14, that's what we're going to decide. What you do at 14, depending on the severity, you forfeit future endeavors for yourself. You forfeit, you know, the opportunity to do that. And I look at whether it be the NHL or NBA, you've had people that have stood trial for murder, for severe domestic violence, not once, but multiple times, still playing. I think this comes at a time, this story, that has all the elements of what's needed to make the news cycle not just go round, but put it in turbo, to make more people come out, feel the need to express their opinion, their emotion, because of the race issues, because of the election, because of all this kind of stuff.
Right.
More people want to be heard. But we're talking about a human being. We're talking about a young man right now. And that's what's most important as far as I'm concerned. It is a person. So we're not talking about a situation and saying, you know, if they have the gavel and they were the judge, you know, half the people might send this kid to the mines to do hard labor, and half of them would say, hey, he did his time. I don't know what the, you know, half the year, 70%, whatever it is. But the bottom line is there has to be some sort of compromise in that we just don't throw these individuals who perpetrate certain things and we just don't throw them away for the rest of their lives because they were young, maybe immature. Maybe he was taught this. Maybe racism was part of his upbringing. And as you know, when you're in someone's house and it's your mother and father, and I don't know this, I'm just giving an example, but if that word was used, the N-word was used in their house freely, maybe he thought it was okay. I don't know. I don't know the home environment, the home situation. And it could be the total opposite. I'm not sure he did it on his own. I'm not sure. But again, 14 years old, 14. And as adults, we're making decisions after the fact. This is all after the fact. Even though he stood in front of a judge, he pleaded guilty. He did, like I said, the community service and whatever other punishment that was doled out. Somebody administered a punishment and he adhered to it. So that's the way the system works, correct?
Yes. Our system of justice, yes. Is he American or Canadian, or where is he from?
I don't know if he, I think he's American myself, but I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that, but I believe he's American.
All right.
I think he is American because he was on the USA, Team USA roster last year for, you know, whatever it was.
That would be a good sign. Go ahead and finish your, thought.
No, I was just going to say, you know, like, I find it difficult to, you know, when someone says, hey, listen to what this gentleman said or this lady said, and what do you think about what they said? I don't, you know, put too much stock in what other people say. I like to make my own decision, informed decision, and the Coyotes made theirs. As of last week when they put out a public statement for UND, they obviously have made a decision to support the kid. I know Coach Barry put out a statement as well. And when I look at that man and what he's done and the way he runs his program, I can't help. I never mind can't help. I know for the based on history, the way that he goes about having people on his team doesn't put anything above the program ever. And so I would imagine that his goal is to give this kid a support system and also build on whatever, you know, after his punishment and making him the best young man that he possibly could be. And I can only look at that and say, you know, if my son did the same thing, I would hope that after all the smoke and dust settled, that he would come out better, monumentally better, because of the support system around him, and I would have several people to thank. I would hope he would get that opportunity after screwing up so huge.
Could you imagine that he would be punished for the rest of his life?
Yeah, because, yes, I can, because some people will do that. Some people will hold grudges for the rest of their life. They just do.
All right, let's talk about. So what's now? So the kid has an opportunity to be a professional athlete, a very good opportunity. What road does he take now? I mean, is it that one of, hey, you've got to be a model in terms of the way you turn your life around? That's the first step, and then you've got to go out and talk about it, and you've got to become an advocate. And if you do that, then people will open the door for you. So is more levied on this kid now? If you're serious that this is what you want to do with your life, this is where you got to go. You've got to become the poster child for how to turn this around. Is that the path for this guy?
I mean, I would say the amount of eyes on him are exponential, you know.
Right.
And then in order for him to play professional hockey, he's got to have one team out of the 30 that, you know, believes that, you know, he's not the same kid as he was at 14. And that's going to be difficult in this day and age based on how this story hit TMZ, the New York Times, the Grand Forks Herald, you know, things like that. I mean, it was just gobbled up, Mac, if you look at it. I mean, gobbled up.
It has all the elements to be clickable, right? It has race in it. It has bullying in it, right? It has everything.
It didn't need ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, nothing. Uh-huh. It was just pounded down.
Right.
And so with that, is that how is this story going to die? I mean, it would be resurrected faster than Jesus himself if someone even sniffed around giving him a shot. Now, that's as of now.
Right.
But given that he has an opportunity, like you said, and one of your ideas was for him to go speak on this and speak about exactly what took place and what he's doing now and how, and then him actually impacting others that may be in a similar situation or thinking about doing a similar situation and preventing that, we're talking about an opportunity to make a huge difference in other people's lives. Whereas if you take away that, then maybe incidences like this continue because you don't have someone, as you talked about, the guys kind of respond to you because you're a Marine, you're a real type of man, you know, you have this way about you, and you talk about the domestic violence thing, it actually happened to you, you're not just going up there and telling them to don't hit women, you know, and it hits home. So there's an opportunity for this kid to be very similar in this subject area, in the subject area of race or bullying or second chances or however you want to make it.
No, a whole series of a whole series of opportunities, honestly.
Yeah, and so let's just take that away from him and ground his ass and not let him do anything, and that really helps. That really helps him, and that really helps society as a whole. Let's just bury him.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make sense to me logically. And again, we're taking the human element about this because everyone's reading his name on a paper or seeing it on TV, but they're not seeing the individual. Now, I know there was victims. I understand that. I'm not poo-pooing that fact. But what I am saying is this is where we are now. This is what we're dealing with at this time. Right. So we have to take it from here.
Let me read you an email. I'm stuck on the point that he was in eighth grade. I can't get beyond that. I can't get beyond that. Like, I hear everything that you guys are saying, and you guys are all saying the right thing. I think Max... domestic violence parallel is a pretty good one in terms of you've got to deal with the people that commit these kind of events. But eighth grade, for the love of God, for the love of God, I hate to be thinking about what would happen to me if I was held accountable for the stuff that I did in eighth grade. You've got to be kidding me. How did this record, and here's this question. If he's an American, how did this record of a juvenile case go public? I thought those records are sealed in juvenile court for exactly this reason. That's a good question. I don't know. Greg, your thoughts?
I would say that there's obviously a hell of a reporter.
Right.
And you know, in this country, if you know a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy, things can be done. There are powerful people that, you know, that file gets left on a table somewhere.
Right.
And, you know, you're supposed to be at a certain room at a certain time. Things get left in a photocopier. I mean, there's ways of doing that, Max. I mean, we know that. Or if you have enough money, you know. That makes the world go round. I don't care what anybody says.
Right.
I mean, yeah, the records are supposed to be sealed, but I wonder what, you know, this the first reporter that put this out here, I wonder what his thoughts are now that, I mean, I don't think he's ever had a story that's went this global or this national.
Yeah, no, you know, he's, whoever wrote the original story, you know, do you feel good about the story? I mean, you know.
Well, the editor does.
Oh, well, yeah, because I don't know if you've watched it, but if you haven't, you should. There's a documentary on Netflix called The Social Dilemma.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. And it talks about the science of, you know, of clicking and the science of the notification on your phone. That there is creating this constant feed that draws you in, and it's all done for monetary reasons. And there's a few great lines in the documentary. One of them is, these companies are worth billions of dollars, but you don't pay anything for it. Where does the value come from? And you're just like, uh-oh. And like, yeah, selling you. You're the product. Delivering you, right, with an algorithm that studies you and records everything you do on your phone to people trying to sell you stuff and people competing for your attention. And so in that world, whatever the trappings of the story are irrelevant, right? Race,
yeah,
disadvantaged people, person. And again, I mean, to me, you know, again, this is just me dealing, because of my experience dealing with the people I've dealt with, and not only in domestic violence, but I've dealt with so many people that were abused in their family, either sexually or physically, and or dealt with, you know, the manifestations of that. And so, to me, the first step in trying to make something good is, you know, is people being responsible and owning up to the truth. Now, if that kid's doing that, if he wrote those letters, that's the first step you want to see. And the second, you know, the next steps are going to be, look, whether you like it or not, if you want to go down that road, this has to be a part of it. You've got to make it, you've got to, you can't just be another person or you will, or in my opinion, you will get canceled. Nobody will give you a chance. The way you open that door is you've got to show on a regular basis that you care and that you want to help change this. And so to me, I don't know. Our culture doesn't seem to be about that anymore. It seems to be more about rubbing his face in it and essentially canceling the kid because of something they did in eighth grade. And it just, to me, is astounding. And you and I have both seen athletics do incredible things to change people's lives. People that we've crossed paths with. I've seen it, you know, the military change somebody's life. Grew up in a horrible situation, right? But it was getting them, the military was a way out. And it's really interesting in terms of mental health. I didn't realize it. I mean, it's kind of, I reflect back and it was kind of stupid, but the military has always been a way out for people of bad situations, bad economic situations, bad living situations. The Marine Corps is always, I mean, and back in the day it was, you can go to jail or you can join the military. And so, but yeah. I never thought about that as a leader. I never thought that, and I, you know, I saw a study here in the last couple of years that said, people that join the all-volunteer force are 50% more likely than a civilian to have significant trauma in their life. Like, so that means probably half my Marines are misfit toys. But they're not saying shit, though, because that's the way it works. And
well,
I didn't,
also, too, but when you say they're misfit toys, then they join an organization that, where they get physical training, they get mental training, they're part of a group.
Right.
They're part of a brotherhood. You know, you start to change somebody's outlook, and they needed that structure. They needed that, you know,
environment,
that leadership.
Leadership.
Exactly.
I mean, and I tell a story about coaching baseball at Central and handing a ball to a kid who had never pitched in a varsity game. And hell, Greg might have even been at the game down the right field line throwing batting practice to his kids. But I looked at him and I said, hey, he had never pitched a varsity game. He was nervous. I could tell. I said, hey, you're going to do great. I believe in you. I know you can do this. And the next day at practice, he walks up to me and he says, coach, could I talk to you? And I think he did good in the game. I don't remember. So he must not have been done horrible. And so I said, yeah, what's up? Not knowing what to expect, thinking that he was bothered by something. And he said, I just wanted to thank you for what you said to me yesterday. And I couldn't remember.
He probably never heard it before.
Well, I couldn't remember what I said. And so I said to him, I said, what did I say to you? He said, well, when you gave me the ball, you said you believed in me. You knew I could do it. And I said, yeah. And he said, I've never had a man tell me that in my life. And I just wanted to thank
you. There you go.
You know what? And so so the power of, I don't care if it's the military, the power of the arts for people, the power of you see it in Grand Forks in summer performing arts. There's this great arts program. That doesn't cut anybody from kindergarten through senior in high school. If you want to be a part of the arts, and what do? The first interview I did, they kind of reeled me in. They said, Mac, what we do is we teach discipline, hard work, and respect through the arts. And I was like, nice. Now I've got to have you on all the time, huh? And they started laughing. They're like, well, we coach just like you do. We just do it in a different form. I'm like, all right, man, I'm hooked. And it's what they do. But we've seen this, and now that's no longer our approach. Somehow or other, this kid, and again, stories in the New York Times, on TMZ. And my point is what I've seen, the whole world is going to roll on this kid now for what he did. Is that fair? And
well,
if he's not a strong kid with strong people around him, you know what young kids, you know, do when shit this happens? They'll take their own. They'll take their own lives.
So that's my whole point.
Not like, a concern
for people that are listening. Is let's take two identical kids. This kid here, that again plays hockey, and one that perpetrated similar stuff, and is not in hockey, is not in arts, is not in drama, music, whatever, and let's let them go through the same stuff and have the same penalties. And then when they're 18, 19 years old, walk up to them and say, hey, whatever you're doing now, we have to stop it because of what you did in eighth grade, and it's over. That doesn't happen to the other kid. It happens because of the spotlight that the draft pick, the scholarship at UND, or the fact that he's playing at UND, that's why this is taking place. So if you want to talk about what's not fair, it's that in itself. But is he complaining about that? I don't think so, because that's his life. That's what he's chosen to do. But that's where he's at. So I, what I don't understand here is because it's not because he played sports or because he plays sports that he's going to get an opportunity. It's because he played sports that this is happening to him. If you understand what I'm trying to say.
Oh, no, without a doubt. And without a doubt. And then to go beyond that, and rather than seeing this, that this is an opportunity to turn a kid around and to give him an opportunity to be, and again, yeah, part of this is you have to know our friend Bradbury. Okay. Now, there's a lot of people that run big athletic programs that if they wanted the kid, they would stand up and they would say whatever it took to get the kid in the program. And this has been done throughout U.S. college history. Kids that have criminal records, kids that have done horrible things, but they are high-end performers. Okay. And so, you know, the coach sings and dance and gets him into the program. Okay. And so to me, right, our friend Brad, he is not that guy. If whatever he says, you can take it to the bank. That is a great program because the guys who run it are great guys. And Greg knows him better than I do, but I know him pretty well. Guys like Dean Blaze, guys like Dave Haxtell, guys like Brad Berry, and the assistant coaches that are part of that program. These guys are great guys first and foremost. They're great hockey guys after that. And they would never do anything that embarrassed the institution, the organization they lead and they're a part of. And so when that guy tells you, hey, we see this as part of the solution for this kid and this program as being part of what turns his life around, you know, now, I know nobody gives a shit about that, right? Because the rest is all too sexy. But it's just, to me, it's a scary thing when something that you do in eighth grade, right, is dredged up, right, as a juvenile that you paid a price for, is dredged up, and now you're canceled, and your future's taken away from you, right, and there's nothing you can do.
So to those people that, you know, that say, hey, he did this, and like the Brad Millers that say, you know what, he shouldn't have a scholarship, he shouldn't have a shot to play at the NHL level because of what he did in eighth grade, is the cutoff seventh grade?
Yeah,
is it sixth grade?
What is it?
Is it fourth grade? Like, I don't understand where's the cutoff, because you don't know the individual. You don't look. I went to school with some girls that in the eighth grade, they could have went to college, for Christ's sake. I mean, they were that smart, that mature, and everything else. Me, I didn't even have hair on the twig and berries. You know, so, I mean, you run the gamut of when you look at young or youth of who's mature and who's not. So that's what I'm saying. But the facts are he was in eighth grade. That's what the facts are. You know, so I can't see throwing the baby out with the bathwater here.
Well, you know, the other thing that I would say to Bradbury to Brad Miller is this. So if this is your criteria, can we start opening up everybody in the NHL, their past, and let us cleanse the NHL, if that's what you're about? And so you're the police now. You're the moral police of the NHL. So do you mind if we open up everybody's record?
Eighth grade on.
Yeah, from eighth grade on. Until somebody gets out of her doing something in seventh grade, then we'll go to seventh grade. And then the people that have done anything remotely close to this, right? And that means being accused of sexual assault, right? And we'll go down the list, right? Anybody involved in that, they're out of the NHL. Is that okay? And you know what he'd say? He'd say, oh, no, 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 that's not what I'm saying, but this is different. This is different. Yeah, it's really different. He's 14 years old, but for whatever reason, that's the death sentence for you. I just, to me, it's really troubling to me that this is where this whole cancel culture thing is taking us as a nation. It's, I think it's brutal, absolutely, positively brutal. So, any final thoughts before we move on to something else?
No, I think we covered that pretty good.
No, that just popped up, honestly, within the last 24 hours. I saw the headline. I'm scrolling down. I'm like, holy shit, kid goes to UND. And because the headline, you know, I read it. And so this kid's being he was drafted by Phoenix. They're rescinding, right, their rights to the kid. They're cutting him loose, right, because of this article and the social media fallout because of it. And they don't believe this guy, this kid, is reflective of their values as an organization, even though they knew that this had occurred before. To me, that's probably more indicative of their values than them cutting him loose. So anyway, I just and then as I read the article, you know, I see that he's supposed to go play at North Dakota. I know Brad Berry and. So, Mac, how do you know him? I met him as a coach, right? I know him as a father in the community because it's not a big community. I know him from volunteering at different things. When you see Brad and his entire family show up, not just Brad there for 5 minutes so he can say, like, yeah, I'm an assistant coach at UND back in the day, and, you know, I'm here. No, it wasn't that. It was he and his entire family, his wife, their kids, you know, coming out to volunteer and staying there and being just a great guy in the community. And if you needed something from him and you'd contact him and say, hey, I need your help. What do you need? So that kind of forms a little bit of a loop. Let's see. What do you have on your mind? Anything? Deer hunting opener that's come and gone?
No, deer hunting opener is not till November 8th this year. But it is 28 degrees and snowing out right now.
Are you liking that? You're a Thunder Bay guy.
You know what's crazy is next week it's supposed to get into the 50s.
Yeah.
Which is unheard of.
Hey, global warming.
Yeah, okay, whatever, California. But no, you know what's funny is I don't know if I'll be able, like, I can't, I'm not really mobile right now. I got injured on Monday afternoon on my good leg.
What happened?
I got buckled over by a 200-pound English Mastiff.
So your dog hits you and you go down?
Yeah, I was in the living room and there's not a lot of room in my living room, but I got this 250-pound stone slab table that's the top of it stands about 2.5-3 feet high. And I was playing with them, and we were roughhousing and stuff, and I was standing up. But he got the squirrelies, you know, when they start doing the spins.
Right.
And I was going left, and I thought he was going right, but he went left, and he hit my inside of my right leg, which bounced off the table. Then I started to fall because he kept coming into me. And I went down on my right leg kind of as it bent and then whacked my side on the side table on the way down. And nice. He's still running around. So I get an ultrasound yesterday. I got a bone bruise on my shin that is swollen to beat hell. And I broke my rib. So it's been a hell of a week for sure.
What? So are you going to get a lark? Right? Are you going to get the little like scooter? Is that how you're going to get around? Like what the hell?
No. I continue to use my cane, which I always have.
Right.
And other than that, you got to tough it out, Mac. That's the way it goes.
So is there any, is there learning that took place in all of this, or what?
No, not really.
Right. Well, you still,
not really.
You have to play with the dog, right? Dog got fired up.
Yeah, exactly. So how, it's just one of those deals, you know.
How old's your dog?
He's 4 years old.
4 years old. So he's a puppy.
Yeah. He plays like a puppy, but he, you know, he's knocked down a few people over in his day, you know, because he doesn't know his size.
I could imagine.
But usually it's outside, so there's grass and nothing around you, and you fall. But in the house, there's some things in the way, you know.
How long for the broken rib? That's not normally. That's a fairly lengthy. And not really a very cool injury, because every time you breathe, when you sleep,
this is about the fifth time I've broken a rib because of playing football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my wife and kids, my boy drove me to the clinic yesterday, because it's my left or my right leg. I couldn't, you know, do the gas and brake easy. And when we walked in there, I had him look at my leg, and then I said, "Hey, can you check out my rib?" I said, "I think I broke it." And he's like, "Really?" And my son goes, "What do you mean you broke your rib? You never said anything about that." I go, I didn't want to say anything about that. So he puts the thing on it. He goes, "Oh yeah, it's broken." So. And I go, "Oh, there's nothing that you can do for that." And he goes, "There's nothing you can do for a broken rib." And the doc goes, "Nope." So it is what it is, you know.
So how long before you're like out of the most painful part of the broken rib?
The broken rib is not as painful as my leg right now.
Oh, really? But yeah, all you did was bruise the leg.
Yeah, well, bone bruise. So it's so deep. And there's blood in between the muscles, so it can't get out.
Got it.
And so it's so swollen, Mac. And that's like that compartment of your basically on the outside of your shin, the dorsi muscle.
Right.
It's so small an area that it's just throbbing. Keeps me up at night. It sucks ass. You know.
You're up most nights anyway. One of the great things, if you ever want to text Greg Lotus, if he'll give you his cell number, he doesn't sleep through the night. He's like one of, that's why.
Not usually. I will reply at strange hours.
You know, let me tell you, I love my friends that are insomniacs, because you could text them anytime and they'll answer. "Hey, what's going on?"
Yeah.
And they answer right away. "Nothing. What are you doing?"
and you're not even surprised.
No. No, you're looking for a conversation at 2:15 in the morning. Like, I know who to talk to. Greg Lotus. So you haven't learned anything from messing with your dog. You're going to have balmy weather next week. That's nice.
I want the election to be over so I don't have to live through this.
Oh, God. Please. It can't happen soon enough.
What's your prediction?
I don't know.
No, come on.
Honestly, I think they underreport the president's support in the nation. I saw Michael Moore came out and said that. He said, "Hey, look, I don't believe those polls." He said, "Whatever you see in the poll, cut Biden lead wherever he has one. Cut that in half." He said, "Because the polls are wrong. People that support the president, they don't talk about it. Then they go in and vote for him, and their enthusiasm is crazy." So I.
If you look at the history based on last year's election, when Hillary was supposed to, or last election we had, Hillary was supposed to win by a landslide. And when you listen to ABC or those affiliates that are basically Democratic, they kept saying, we lost that state, but we still can get these states. And those states were going by the wayside too. And she just got demolished, you know?
Right.
So
no, but and you saw that in the polling, and that she never pulled away from him in polls, in spite of the grabbing pussy stories and all the stuff. That, like, look, this guy shouldn't be anywhere near her, right? lifelong politician, former Secretary of State, blah, 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 former First Lady. She should be killing him. But for some reason, he's hanging around within the margin of error of the poll. And then what we learned was there's a lot of people that when somebody calls and said, hey, we'd like to talk to you about who you're going to vote for president, they go, click. And so how do you make sure that in the 100 people you interview that they're 50-50? What happens if you get a skewed demographic? Doesn't that skew the poll? I don't understand how they do that. And to make sure their poll.
I will tell you one thing, though.
Yes.
I think President Trump would win by an absolute landslide if they did one thing.
What's that?
Take away his fucking Twitter. Mac, that guy, like, I know he's the president, so no one can tell him what to do, but if someone hit his phone so he couldn't make asinine tweets, like, he doesn't belong on Twitter.
Oh, my God. He's the worst. Total shit show on Twitter.
It is. Yeah, he says, well, the only reason I have it is so that the American people could come and hear it from my mouth. Well, sometimes that's not a good thing.
Most of the time, it's not a good thing. But you know what? But he got elected doing that, right? And so even when it was, in my opinion, earlier in the year when he was just doing it, and you're just like, look, you are – and the biggest change, you know, is if you believe the shit you read, one of the biggest shifts is that women don't like him anymore, right? Republican women he's lost support, and I don't know by how many percentage points, 7 percentage points less this year than in 2016. And I can hear women just saying, he's an asshole. So you're not going to vote for him. Right. And so my response is, look, George Bush, I mean, he seemed to be like an okay guy, right? Started a great war that's still going on. Hundreds of thousands of people. So I'm over that you have to be a good guy. Barack Obama seemed like a great guy. But he was not a very good president, right? If you measure accomplishments, right? Trump has done more for the United States, standing up to China, you know, making NATO,
North Korea,
right? Make NATO pay their fair share. The economy was lights out until COVID, right? And since COVID started, all we have is him and the Twitter account. And so I could see why women would say he's an asshole. I'm not voting for him. So I don't know. And so, who's most excited? All these people that are voting. Well, most of them don't matter. All these people in New York that are so excited to vote, your state doesn't matter. It's already delivered. It's the swing states. Who's most excited to vote? And so I don't know. In 2016, I didn't think he'd win. And I got a text late in the day saying, are you watching this? And I said, no. And he said, you better turn it on. Trump's going to be the next president of the United States. I said, bullshit. And I couldn't watch it if she was going to get elected. And now Joe Biden, who's never done anything nationally, right?
47 years.
might be the next president of the United States. So it'll be. And I watch him. I don't have the audio on. I just in case like something terrible happens, I have a monitor on in the studio, as you've seen. And then every time I see Biden talking, it looks like he's chewing somebody's ass, right? He looks like he's scolding somebody. So it's an interesting graphic. So we'll see if Joe can pull this off. But who do you think is going to win?
Well, I honestly think it's going to be really, really close.
Yes,
I do think that I think Biden might have an edge this year because of the way, after reading this week, how mail-in ballots are up 140-something% over the same time the previous election. Also, the number of Hispanic African-American voters has nearly tripled in a lot of areas. That's where I think, you know, the divide was. And with the racial unrest and everything, the only thing is, with Biden, I don't know how long he could last. The guy looks like he should be in an old folks home.
Oh, my God. How old is he?
You know, 70-something.
Is he?
Yeah.
How old? I thought he was in his 80s.
Oh, I thought he was late 70s.
Joe Biden is 77. He'll turn 78 on November 20th.
There you go.
Nice.
Unbelievable. So he looks to be about 85.
How do we get all these lame white people as presidential candidates? Kamala Harris might be the first black not the first black president. And that's, to me, that's what I think. People that say, oh, the racial divide in this country is worse than it's ever been. You didn't live through the 60s. You didn't live through the 70s. So that's bullshit. And let me tell you this. Yeah. We have a woman, a black woman, that might be the next vice president of the United States. It's not even an issue. It's not even discussed. Not even an issue.
Yeah.
Right?
No, so. I agree with you totally. So we'll see.
All right.
We'll talk next week.
Well, I don't know. What are you eating? Have you eaten anything good this week?
I've eaten a dog shit sandwich from my dog. That's what I ate.
Yeah, but, your dog feeding it to you. Nice.
Yeah. No, I haven't been eating much because I haven't been able to move around as normally as I could, so I got to watch.
Don't you have Heather bring you the big plate of food?
Well, she would anytime, but I haven't been having a huge appetite. I haven't been doing much, Mac.
Got it. I'm with you.
So I'm looking forward to maybe having some lunch. She's out. She just texted me a little bit ago saying, text me when you're done. I'll bring home some lunch. So we'll see what's on her mind today.
Nice. All right, bud. Hey, first of all, I think the discussion about issues like this, canceling essentially children, right, for things they've done, I think they're unfair. And now, let me tell you, if this kid was convicted and then you saw him go back to that and continue to do it and other people come out and say, then I would say, you know what, maybe somebody's justified by saying it doesn't seem like he's learned. But when you see a kid that has gone through that and is trying to make something of himself in life, you know, whether I don't care what genre it is, you know, I have this saying, if you're trying, I'm helping. Just don't piss down my back. Just don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining. And I mean, to me, this is awful. It's absolutely awful. And I don't say that because of where he's going to school or what sport he's playing. I would say this about anything because I've seen this kid so many times go on to do great things. But it takes leaders. It takes strong people to show him a path and to hold him accountable. And then you change a human life who then goes on to change all these other lives. And I'll
tell you, Mac, for what it's worth, if this story came out because it was the second time that he did something like this and then the backstory came out, it would be a whole different thing for you and I. You and I would say, hey, he's already had his chance, that's it, this is in his blood type of deal. But they went and dug this up,
right?
You know?
Nope.
So
I'm with you. Again,
all right.
Everybody gets a second chance in this. And I remember I had a colonel who wanted to throw a guy out of the Marine Corps who'd never had a disciplinary fraction, wounded in combat, and he gets in a bar fight over whose quarter was next on the jukebox at a pool parlor. The district attorney says, I'm not going to charge anybody. He wants to throw the kid out of the Marine Corps. And I looked at him and I said, he's earned his second chance. And it got me sideways with the guy. Idiot. But anyway. All right, bud. Take care. Good luck with good luck with the leg and the rib.
All right, take care.
See ya. Greg Lotus here. On a Friday. Yeah. He's interesting and timely story. That'll do it on a Friday. Ohio man, just hit my inbox up again. Headline, Why I Voted for Trump, a coming out story by Candy Mercer. This is from the website Medium, which is where people self-publish, I think. Who's Candy Mercer? This is what Wow. What? Probably fitting that the president of the University of North Dakota has announced that Mitchell Miller is no longer part of the UND hockey team. And that happened as of within the last 30 minutes. Unbelievable. I have to say, I'm not shocked. Unbelievable. Just some feedback from Twitter. North Dakota and the Arizona Coyotes look terrible in the wake of the Mitch Miller story. To welcome this player to their organizations with no clear plan to deal with the potential fallout for his transgression aside from getting rid of him shows a complete lack of foresight. There you go. Cancel culture. At its best. In hour one, speaking of cancel culture, politicians, man. So in hour one, the headline for the podcast that's already up is, how do we get to a world of fact-based reporting, reasoned opinions, and respectful articulate discourse in a landscape dominated by social media and cancel culture? And so you'll hear Glenn Greenwald, who resigned from the news organization that he began. And because they would not publish work he had done, a column he had written about Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and all this fallout. The website that he founded, it was designed to give, right, journalistic freedom, won't publish it. So he's out. Anyway, so you'll hear that. Have a great weekend. Don't be afraid to change somebody's life. And on that note, on a Friday, All Marine Radio is out.